الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's class, or today's topic, will be basically keep silent or tell the truth. You understand when I'm talking about this particular subject when I start getting to the various proofs from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and what he said about keeping quiet or keeping silent and speaking the truth. And he was a man that was well known for this, but I'm going to talk about that a little later on. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, he who believes in Allah in the last day must either speak good or remain silent. Because we know we have some people, they just talk and talk and talk. It's like they never run out of words. When are they going to stop talking? There's sometimes they're supposed to carry on a conversation, meaning a dialogue between, say, for example, yourself and them. But it's like they're having doing a monologue. And they only speaking, but they're not giving you a chance to say anything in return. And maybe perhaps most of the words that they're saying are bad words, talk about someone, backbiting someone or something like that, then you're listening to it, so you may be equally guilty. I listen to them go back on and on and on and backbite this person and say all these bad things about the person, or maybe even saying slanderous things about the person, which are things that are not true. But in any case, it says here that a Muslim is to speak good or remain silent. It was also related by Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet, peace and blessings upon him. He said, whoever believes in Allah in the last day should not hurt his neighbor, or whoever believes in Allah in the last day should serve his guests generously, and whoever believes in Allah in the last day should speak what is good or keep silent. Again, saying the same thing, all the other things I said in the previous episode, but the last part is they speak what is good, or they keep quiet, they keep silent, don't say anything at all. If nothing can come out your mouth but bad things or bad words, or you're only going to say bad things about a person or about whomever, you don't know anything good to say out your mouth. All your mouth knows, your tongue knows to do, is to say bad things. It was also reported by the Prophet, may peace be upon him, in a similar saying of the Prophet. He said, who believes in Allah in the last day, let him show hospitality to his guests. And he who believes in Allah in the last day, let him maintain good relation with his kins. And he who believes in Allah in the last day, let him speak good or remain silent. Always end with what? All these long lists of things the Prophet said. I said it almost the same thing twice already. It's about the third time I'm saying the same thing. But at the end it says what? It says speak good or what? Or remain silent. And in the next hadith, he basically said the same thing. He said, and if he put that the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, he who believes in Allah in the last day should speak good, decent conversation, otherwise remain silent. And I talked about that on my previous, one of my previous conversations, on my previous episode. I mentioned about having good etiquette in our conversation, having good words when we talk to people. This is what a Muslim is supposed to do. And if you all decide, my students decide to be Muslim, this is what you're supposed to do too. And if all the Muslims around you are not doing it, all the people around you are not doing it, you do it. You be the example for all, no matter how long the person been a Muslim. They have been born Muslim, centuries of Muslims in their family. It doesn't matter. If they're not doing what's right according to Islam, they're wrong. I don't care how many centuries they've been Muslim, how many people in their family been Muslim, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, kether, all these things. No, it doesn't matter. Are they been a Muslim 1 week longer than you? It doesn't matter. They're supposed to what? Say that which is good or keep silent. And then maybe you're being a good example for that. You have a good conversation. You have a decent conversation. And maybe they pick up from you. You're the new Muslim. It doesn't mean that Muslims, persons who have been a Muslim all their life, cannot learn from a new Muslim. They can learn from you as well as you can learn from them. Don't be afraid to be a good example. Don't be afraid to be a teacher. And don't be afraid of embracing Islam. Don't be afraid of doing all the good that I'm talking about. You call what they call is this is the benefits of Islam. Benefits of Islam, Islam is Sharia. It is here to what? It is here as a benefit to mankind. As far as family and not having sex outside of marriage and not drinking and not gambling or to get closer to Allah, all these things are a benefit to mankind. Protecting the wealth, Maqasa Sharia. All these are benefits of Islam to the people, for the people. Islam here is benefit. It's not here to destroy anyone or anything. Disbelief is there to destroy, yes. Disbelief in the hearts of the people, yes. Bring them closer to Allah, yes. We are here to do that. And we're not going to turn away from doing that because that's our job. To turn the people more towards Allah instead of them running away from Allah. That's all that we're doing here. Allah has created all that we see and all that we don't see. He was here before we came here as mankind, and he'll be here after we're gone. So please, my students, listen to me clearly. I'm only telling you this because I love you as my students. I'm only telling you this because I want the best for you, or I want the best for myself. And then let it carry on my voice, even when I'm in my grave, that you carry on what I'm saying to others. You want the best for them. You pay it forward and tell them what is good and what is right, and stand up for what is good and what is right. Even if you have to stand up by yourself, do so. Don't be afraid to do so, to stand up by yourself, because sometimes it's going to feel like that. It's going to be like you're going to be like you're a stranger. And it said, Tuba to the strange one. It's like his great reward to the person who is a stranger. The person that's going to hold on to Islam like it's a hot coal in their hand. Burn their hand up, but they're still going to hold on to it. People are going to make you feel like, no, you should not practice Islam. Why are you embracing this stuff called Islam? I remember when I became Muslim, I was asked, why are you embracing Islam? Why are you doing this? You were raised such and such. Why have you embraced Islam? And I explained to people why I embrace Islam. And I explained to them why I want to live and die only on Islam. Only on loving Allah and being close to Allah. And so again, put these things into practice. Say what is good or keep quiet. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he was a man of a few words. Well, you can almost count how many words he said, but it was just so powerful. And it says here, the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, he would not lengthy the sermon on Friday. He would say a few words. Friday, we had the Friday prayer, like Christians had their prayers, their congregational prayer on Sunday. The Jewish people had theirs on Saturday. I don't know about other faiths when they had theirs, but those are the days kind of locked in for those two faiths. And then Islam, our day, our congregational day is on Friday. And then we have our sermons on Friday, congregational prayer on Friday. We're reminded of our responsibility to Allah and responsibility to mankind and responsibility to ourselves. And so the khutbah or the sermon that the Prophet gave was very short with a few words, but they were so powerful. Sometimes he would just speak a few words as if coming over the horizon was an army to attack. That's how powerful those few words were. Just getting people to stay on Sirat al-Mustaqim, on a straight path. That's what he would do. And so we follow his lead. When the imam, the person, the khatib, the giving the khutbah, the sermon, he should give it just in a few words. That's all. A few words on the sermon, and perhaps the prayer itself would be lengthy. But when he's speaking, just speak a few words. That's it. Nothing lengthy. Going on and on and on and on and on, because you start to lose people. People only have a short attention span. And you start to lose people after a while because they lose interest. You may have a very good topic you're talking about. But people will start thinking about other things and not so much focusing on your topic. It was also mentioned, I'm sorry about that. It was also mentioned by the Prophet, peace and blessings upon him. He said, like comprehensive supplications. He loved supplication. Now, what comprehensive meaning they were short. Meaning they had a few words to it. He would say just a few words in his dua, in his what you call El Jawami. He would say these few words in his dua, but they were just so powerful. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, get on and on and on. But then it must be a few words. That's all. You get so much from a few words. And he emphasized to us to what? To speak the truth. It was related that Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, as saying, avoid falsehood. Falsehood leads to wickedness, and wickedness leads to hell. And if a man continues to speak falsehood, and makes falsehood his object, he will be recorded in Allah's presence as a liar and adhere to truth, for truth leads to good deeds and good deeds lead to paradise. If a man continues to speak the truth and makes truth his object, he will be recorded in Allah's presence as being what? Being a truthful person, eminently a truthful person. So when we speak the truth. When we speak, we only speak what is good, or we be quiet. But then when we speak the truth. We don't want to speak and speak and speak and maybe be telling a lie and raised up before Allah as a liar. We want to speak the good. We speak and say what is good, that will lead towards good deeds, that will lead towards paradise. And a man will continue to speak the truth and make truth his object. Of course, he will be recorded with Allah, in the presence of Allah, as a truthful person. It was also related by Ibn Mas'ud. He narrated that Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, I hear you people to truth, for truth leads to good deeds and good deeds lead to paradise. And if a man continues to speak the truth and makes his object, he will be recorded as truthful before Allah. Avoid people falsehood, for falsehood leads to wickedness, and wickedness leads to hell. And if a man continues to speak falsehood and makes falsehood his object, he will be recorded as a liar before Allah. And all the various scholars agree with this. And so again, I just basically saying the same thing. Only thing he said, speak the truth and leads to paradise. But if you speak a lie, you become a liar, be before Allah a liar, and you go to where? And it leads to wickedness. Wickedness leads to hellfire. And no one wants to be in a hellfire. You can listen to some of my past episode, and we'll talk to you or speak to you about what you call the hellfire and what happens in the hellfire. I want to mention something else to my beautiful students, and that is our tongue will speak for or against us. I told you this before. Is that on the day of judgment, Allah will command our tongue to speak without us having any control over it? And what we say with our tongue, or what we say with our mouth, or what we saw with our eyes, they will speak for or against us. Or what we said, or what we heard with our ears, for or against us. Or we did with our hands, for or against us. And our feet, where did we go? They will speak for or against us. And so the same thing we're talking about here, speak well, or let your tongue speak well for, or may speak against you. The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, said about the black stone. This is black stone that's in the Kaaba. It's at one of the corners of the Kaaba. The Kaaba is sort of the central place that we as Muslims pray. All over the world we pray towards this. It is not a thing that we worship. The queue, we don't worship it. It's just something Allah commanded man to make, and he make it. It's sort of our focal point, but it's not an object of our worship, because Allah is the object of our worship, and he's the only one that is object of our worship. By Allah, Allah will raise it on the day of resurrection with two eyes by which it sees, and a tongue that it speaks with, testifier to whom touch it in truth. This is it. It's just talking about this black stone. Those who touch it, those who waved at it, they didn't speak for or against us. Allah could see a black rock on a black night. A black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So he knows what you're saying. He knows what you're doing. He can make anything talk. He can make your tongue talk, make your hands talk without you having any control. He can certainly make a stone or rock talk and testify for or against the individual that touched him, that spoke to him, meaning the rock, or waved to it. Because sometimes I've been on Hajj a few times by the blessing of Allah. I couldn't get close enough to the black stone to do anything, to touch it, to kiss it, anything like that. So it's okay just to wave at it and just keep it moving. Because it's not that significant on that level. You had to push and shove everyone to get in there to kiss it. I think it was Umar ibn Khattab, one of the Prophet's companions. He's the one that mentioned, Allah knows best. He didn't want to mention that, you know, hey, you're just a black stone. If I wasn't told by the Prophet to kiss you or anything like that, I wouldn't do it. Or to touch you, I wouldn't do it. But it's something that he did, and so I do it. He directs us to do it. If we can do it, then we do it. Otherwise, we don't. It's not a thing that we worship. We don't worship anything that's a creation of Allah. Nothing at all. No trees, no man, or a stone, or anything like that. Anything made with our hands, or someone made with their hands, we don't do that. What we do is that we worship the Creator of the creation. Also, it was related by Malik, related to me, that he heard, to this individual, that he heard Abdullah ibn, the son of Ibn, that's the son of Bin Ibn, Mas'ud, I used to say, you must tell the truth. Truthfulness leads to right action. Right action leads to the garden. Beware of lying. Lying leads to corruption, and corruption leads to the fire. Don't you see that it is said, he speaks the truth in actions rightly, and he lies and is corrupt. And so we, again, speaking the truth is emphasized. It said what? Say what is good or keep quiet. Look, I'm telling you all now. Muslim, non-Muslim, speak what is good or keep quiet. Maybe before you start listening to my program, listen to this particular episode, you were just a talker. You just said any old thing, all kinds of lies. You were a great lie spreader. But now that you know, you heard it, you've been warned. Allah allow you to live to see if you're going to change or not change or be the same. That is totally up to you. That is your decision to make. It's your burden to bear on the day of judgment when your tongue speaks for or against you. Your eyes speak for or against you. Your hands for or against you. Your feet for or against you. You get the idea. You know what I'm talking about. And so I want to mention something. And that we should swear by what is true, not what is false. It was narrated that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, because we say this sometimes, listen to this. Do not swear by your fathers, nor by your mothers, nor by the rival set up as equal to Allah. Mean those things we say that Allah equal to Allah, we worship a man or a tree or something like that. And do not swear by Allah except when you are speaking the truth. Wallahi, that's basically saying, you know, Allah knows, like, I'm telling the truth. I say, blah, 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 wallahi, Allah knows I'm telling the truth. Wallahi, wallahi, okay. You hear this sometimes from people. And so you hear sometimes from people, I swear by my mother. I swear by my father. I swear by my mother's grave. I swear I'm telling the truth. And they could be lying. The biggest lie you ever heard from you, all the lies you know in life came from them. Put their lie on the scale, it'll outweigh probably all the liars in the world. All they know is a lie. It's like it's hard for you to tell when they're telling the truth because they lie so much. You don't know when they're telling the truth and when they're not telling the truth. And so it's talking about here, and so they say, I swear. Like it's supposed to make their lie go away, the lie, and turn their lie to the truth. The lie is a lie. By saying I swear does not make it change your lie to the truth. Your lie is still a lie. And so it says here, do not swear by your fathers, do not nor swear swear by your mothers, nor swear by rivals, meaning anything you put equal with Allah, and do not swear by Allah, except when you are speaking the truth. Then, and only then, you swear by Allah when you are speaking the truth. And Allah knows you're speaking the truth or you're speaking falsehood. Also, I want to mention to you, and I'm going to kind of explain to you because this goes more into Islamic sciences, if you will. So I'm going to do the best I can to explain this to you, this particular one. And it was mentioned about two people in a transaction. Both parties in a business transaction have a right to annul it so long as they have not separated. And if they tell the truth and make everything clear to each other, meaning the seller and the buyer speak the truth, the seller with regard to what is purchased, and the buyer with regard to the money. They will be blessed with their transaction, but if they conceal anything and lie, the blessing of their transaction will be eliminated. This is something so beautiful. We have to even speak the truth when we're selling and buying from people. When we're doing some kind of business, we're supposed to speak the truth. Some people say that some members of some faith, they don't cheat the people in their faith, they cheat everyone else. But you belong to the particular faith, I'm not going to cheat you. But you are lied to you about something. But if you do not belong to the faith, I'm going to cheat you and I'm going to lie to you because it's okay. Allah knows best if it's true or not about the members of the faith. And it's not important what faith it is. Okay, that's not important at all. But the thing is about Islam, because that's what I'm teaching you about Islam in this class. And it's just a beautiful thing. If I'm selling you something, and you are in agreement on something, the terms or whatever it is, and we both tell the truth about whatever it is we agree on, then of course, our agreement is good. As long as we have not separated. Once we separated, then I can't change anything. Our agreement is our agreement. But from Islamic standpoint, along we're in the basically in the same area, same vicinity, we have not left that vicinity. It depends on the scholars and what they say. You left or you turned away, something like that. And so it varies from scholar to scholar what they mean by you separated. Or someone came between you, different things like that. I'm not getting into that because that's for the scholars to argue about or discuss or explain. And I'm not going to touch that right now. That's not our subject right now. But the thing I want you to understand is that if I'm selling you something, I need to tell you the truth. If there's something wrong with what I'm selling, I need to let you know from the beginning. That's something wrong with whatever it is. I'm selling you a car, but the thing is, one of the tires are not good. So I need to let you know that and be truthful with you. And you still want to buy this car and just get the tire fixed or get the tire repaired or replaced. Okay, fine. And you separate, we both agree. But if I start to speak the truth. But if I don't tell you about that bad tire, or I got some leak coming from some kind of oil leak coming from the engine. Okay, I got it, and I don't let you know this. I'm not telling the truth. I'm hiding something from you. But I hide it from you, but I can't hide it from Allah. The truth about whatever it is, and I need to let you know that. But I already told you there's a leak in the engine, and you still want to buy the car, no problem. And then we both agreed, you're going to pay the certain price. I'm going to sell you the car as is. Then we separate. That's it. We're done. I have spoken the truth. I have not taken any blessing away from you or no away from me. But if I have not spoken the truth, or you have not done right by me, then the blessing of that transaction is what? It's eliminated, as I mentioned before. So I want to just mention these few things to you about speaking the truth. Speaking the truth, saying those things which are good, or to remain quiet. Are we going to swear by anything? Not by our father, our mother, anything equal to Allah. When we swear by Allah, we only swear by that which is true, not that which is false. We keep saying those things which are good, we get to paradise. We say those things that are bad, we go to hellfire. Or we keep lying and lying and lying and end up in the hellfire. So those are just a few things I want to mention to my beautiful students today regarding what? Regarding what I mentioned earlier is to what? To either say the truth or keep silent or speak the truth. That's it. Nothing more than that. And so you can start practicing that now. Anything that I said that is wrong, it comes from me. And anything that's wrong comes from Shaitan. Anything good comes from Allah. I'm sorry. Anything that is good is from Allah. Anything that is not good from the Shaitan, or maybe from myself. I don't have any idea or intention to say anything wrong to you. That is not my way to misguide you. I'm only going to tell you my whole program is about, and my whole teaching methodology is about what? It's about teaching you what Islam is and what it is not. I'm not here to convince you to embrace Islam or to chase you away from Islam. I'm just here to tell you the truth about Islam, and then you make a decision for yourself. And you pray on it that Allah opens up your heart, and this is for you. Islam is for you. If it's not for you, then it's just not for you. And keep coming to class, because maybe I'll say something. I say, yeah, well, it makes sense. I do want to look at this Islam a little bit more, study more about Islam. And if you learn some things about what I've said or more than what I said, then of course, and it's good and it's sound, then of course do it. But I'm just giving you some bits and pieces of what Islam is all about and is what Islam says. And I'm trying to do subject after subject each week. The subject for this week is to what? Say which is good, or you keep quiet. You find out more about Islamic faith, you can increase your knowledge of Islam. You go to Why Islam, or you go to the International Online University. And you can Google all these things and go online and find out where these particular organizations are. And they can help you with your understanding of Islam. Or American Open University, find out a lot about Islam. And the last one I mentioned, Islamic Online University or American Open University. Both of these you can get degrees or certificates from. Or you don't even have, you can just audit classes. But you had to talk to them and find out more information about them. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.